Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We are coming to you live from the LiveX studio in Midtown Manhattan, and we are ready to talk some Packers for the final time, the 2019 season, wrapping it up. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we move past the disappointment of the NFC Championship, look back at a great 2019 season, and look ahead to a bright Packers future with Mr. One, Matt LaFleur. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Aaron Jones.
We got the bad. We got
Aaron Rodgers.
We got the ugly. We got
Mike Pettin. Yikes. It's been a while, Corey.
Been a minute.
Been a minute since we sat in this very studio, in front of that very LED wall.
Yeah.
Looking at that very screen.
Yep.
Well, actually, it was a little different screen. But, and watch the Packers get their ass kicked in the NFC Championship game. It's been 2 weeks, pretty much. I mean, come on.
I've blocked it out of my memory, like all NFC Championship games of yore.
That's a good way to go
about
it. Unfortunately, we got to talk about it tonight a little bit.
The North was not enough, but we got a taste.
A little taste of something more.
We got
than
a
the
taste.
North.
It was more than a taste. It was like we got to eat a morsel. We got to feel good at Lambeau Field. You know,
it felt good. It was a great vibe after that game at that building that's right behind you.
You don't get that many of those.
Nope.
And the more that life goes on, you realize how less and less those are going to
be. Well, how special they are.
Special,
Aaron Rodgers indicated that in his post-game presser, where he talked about how they really needed to try and get one of those at Lambeau Field because they keep having to go on the road. They keep getting blown up. They need to have an NFC Championship game back at Lambeau that Brett Favre doesn't throw to the one covered guy at the end. That's what we need to have happen.
Or Jared Bush doesn't fall on the ball.
Whichever. Take your pick. But, hey, in Packers news, Packers finished 14-4.
Ooh.
For Matt LaFleur's inaugural season, that is pretty damn good.
14-4. You know what the best time is in the whole time? Like, looking back on this season?
Pre-camp.
Okay. You know what the worst time is right now?
Pre-draft. Why don't you like
we
pre-draft,
We are now
Corey?
In pre-draft. Like, I'm like beyond excited about 2021.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah. What's
the
not too excited about?
2021 season, yeah. Let's bring it
let's
on,
go.
Right?
Yeah, let's start tomorrow.
But the bloviating.
Oh, boy. Good
and
word
the,
choice.
And the bloviating.
There's going to be a lot of that in the next
the,
3 months.
You know. The chaff, all the noise, it just...
A lot of noise.
It
you
just
talk about
increases.
To noise.
Increases.
The noise really increases
that
on
signal,
the lead up to the draft.
Nobody even knows
the
what
signal
that signal is.
Disappears
it's so weak, that signal.
Yes. It's barely audible, barely found. But we'll have plenty of time to bemoan the industrial draft complex over the course. You're not even going to have to deal with it. You're going to be running Live X. I'm going to be the one chatting every day with Packers fans.
I don't know. Should we go to Vegas, Nagler?
I don't know.
Let's
put it out there.
Give me a reason to go to Vegas, Nagler.
I don't need to give you a reason. There is a reason. They're holding the NFL draft in Vegas.
I mean, that first night is so great.
So let's just go for the first night.
Ooh, that's hard, though. That's what everybody's going to be doing. That's what all the ballers
exactly.
are going to be doing. They're going to be like, oh, yeah, let's go for two nights.
And we'll do a special show with Charlie Behrens. Come on. How much fun would that be?
Yeah, well, Charlie Behrens has to agree to that.
Well, let's reach out. I think we just reached out to Charlie Behrens. Charlie,
he doesn't watch this show.
Charlie, give us a call. No, but someone will clip this and send it to him. Namely, Aaron Nagler. But, you know, Charlie, hey, what are you doing for the NFL draft? Come do a show with us. See, how hard was that?
Love it. I love it. Love me some Charlie Behrens.
That'd be a good time. Should we get back on script?
Yes. Mike Pettin. Still around.
Still the defensive coordinator.
Still kicking.
That's something I can't quite, you know, I just can't. There's something familiar about this. Embarrassing showing in front of the nation. Historical numbers given up. It used to be through the air. This time it was on the ground. And the head coach saying, I'm still doing my review, blah, blah, blah. And then said head coach going, yeah, you know what? Let's keep him around. There's something so familiar about this. I can't really put my finger.
I mean, like, I'm going to say this for coach because I watched his press conference where he basically justified it. And to his point, you can't judge. I don't judge your work product on one game.
No, of course not. Of course.
Like, for instance, I was very annoyingly drunk after the Seattle Seahawks game.
It's true.
Okay, and it's I just want to apologize to anyone who had to deal with me.
Who ran into Corey Banky.
And it wasn't that many people, mostly my family. But
and you were in your own home, so you're allowed.
That was that was the greatest game this season. It was amazing, and you know, I took it a little too far. I've been told the word annoying has come up multiple times.
It's the
narrative around that game for around my house.
So this would be the analogy being Mike Pettine was drunk in the coach's box.
You can't judge someone on one game, and that's LaFleur's like, look, I'm not judging him
I'm not judging Corey Banky on being drunk after the Seattle game. I'm looking at the totality of his work.
Totality, you know?
And how he's annoying throughout the entirety of the season.
Exactly.
That would be the kind of pieces fitting together there. But look, I understood both sides on this one. I really did.
Yeah.
You know, as far as if I wouldn't have been surprised if he had been gone. Because it wasn't LaFleur's pick. It was kind of hoisted upon him. And they did kind of, quote unquote, fix the running game as the season went on. The big plays kind of got shored up. So you kind of looked at that as a trend towards, okay, he'll probably bring Mike Pettine back, etc. But then to get completely exposed how they did, and we'll get to that in a little bit in the defensive section of the show, without any kind of adjustment whatsoever to even staunch the bleeding, I mean, that's a little concerning. Then you look at, you kind of dig a little deeper and you look at, okay, yeah, they had games where they really shut people down or what have you, or they're really good in the red zone, etc. But, you know, he took advantage of the Mitch Trubisky's of the world. And then, you know, the backup, you know, Allen with the Panthers and Cousins can throw all over the yard. It's like, yeah, I don't know. Then you start wondering, like, maybe he'll move on. Like we said, he's sticking around for at least one more year.
I mean, for me, there's two things. One is the honest, I'm just kind of like a fan as like, okay, I think that he probably saw some stuff that made him convince him that like they were going to work together well as a team.
Right. Of course.
And across the unit. And did he really want to disrupt that?
Right.
No, it didn't make any sense for one thing. He could fix that one thing. He's got a plan for that. Right.
Right.
Then the businessman who's like ironic and sarcastic and always is looking at like what's around the corner devil's advocate is, you know, year two, there's
now a whole lot more film out there.
Well, you own the thing.
Yep.
So like if you inherit someone, okay, you have to move on. You have to get your person. That's going to take some time. You've chosen that route, right?
Yeah.
Now you own that person.
Yep.
You're saying, yeah, I want this person. We're going to move
this
on together. And now it's your responsibility.
You had some cover, but now he's your guy, essentially. I agree with that assessment. So it'll be interesting to see what adjustments get made in the offseason. Again, that's something we'll get to later
in
the show.
Look, I'm not going into year two. There's no way, okay, if you're a Packer fan, okay?
Right.
I don't understand how you could go into year two and not have a ton of confidence in Matt LaFleur.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Because
he's pushed more buttons than wrong ones.
Exactly.
Zero doubt.
If only looking at back at this new 14-4.
Yeah.
But like silence the doubters with the run defense suspect coming up twice in the season, once being like the you know, and also like I don't know that I leave that game pinning everything. I still do not believe that the offense.
Oh, don't get it.
If the offense does not turn over the ball two times in the game,
100%.
We are talking about a very different game.
100%.
And situational football, as I've said all season, plays its hand and played its hand in this game very much so. So to just be like, oh, our run defense.
Like, look, did they get run all over? Yeah, of course they did. But if they go into halftime, even 27-20, it's a totally different game. Than 27-0. I mean, 100%.
I mean,
at
some point, here's my thing. Here's what I just feel like we can't sweep under the rug, okay?
Right.
As much as I'm a QB1 fanboy and I love me some Lindsley, we have to figure out what that was. Because, like, what was it?
Yeah.
Like, is it just, like, missing in the moment? Was it just the miscommunication? It just feels like, how can you go through, like, how many seasons have they gone through together without having that happen?
Right.
You know, and is it just like what?
It's just worst things going wrong at the worst time. Sometimes that happens, and that's why football is so kind of cruel in the sense that it isn't a series. You don't get five games. You only get seven games, you get one game.
Yep.
And if you fuck up, like they fucked up, against a really good team,
well, a lot of those,
you're going to bury yourself.
A lot of those things tend to happen to us in the NFC Championship game.
They definitely seem to.
Brandon Bostic, Jared Bush, Brett Favre. Oh,
they definitely seem to follow us around.
You know, for every we want the ball and we're going to score Al Harris moment, there are a litany of, and now here's the thing. I'd rather be there.
People know this.
Like, I would rather be there when history is being made.
You know, remember when we were sitting here, as I said earlier, watching that game, the lead up to the game, the whole week, how excited everyone was. Take that every year over the previous two seasons where we were sitting at home watching the playoffs along with the players.
Yeah.
I'll take that every fucking year.
That's a really good point. We got 17 days of just like basic euphoria if you're a Packer fan.
Free football. Free love. Free football from the Packers.
I miss those times.
Yeah, I know, right? And now we have a stretched out in front of us off season. Corey's favorite time of year.
Where did those 2 weeks, what happened?
I know. It's
already been like 2 weeks.
That week leading up to the NFC Championship game felt so long. It took, like, on Tuesday I was ready for the game.
Well,
like,
it was like crazy. The national media is actually
paying attention to the Packers.
Here's the Packers thing. And it's
amazing.
Produced at, like,
it's
you
everywhere.
Know, highest level, you know, not to hate on anywhere else, but it's like New York. It's like
all of a sudden it comes to life. It rumbles to life.
Yeah, it rumbles to life, and your team is in the crosshairs.
And now we get 2 weeks of fucking Super Bowl shit about these teams I don't give a crap about. That's the worst part. And what's even worse, now I'm way off script, but what's even worse than that is the fact that we got credentialed for the Super Bowl again. The Packers let us down again. And I get 2 weeks of fucking emails from the NFL going, oh, player arrivals are on Tuesday. Oh, photo opportunities on Monday night.
The Lombardi Trophy
is coming. The media party is mud. I'll be here at home watching probably The Outsider on HBO while you guys are at the media party.
You'll be loving life.
I guess. I'd rather be in Miami at the media party with the Packers in the Super Bowl. Thank you very much.
But the Packers have to be in the Super Bowl.
Yes, but of course.
The Super Bowl without the Packers is like, I was here in New York. Super Bowl happening. We did some stuff. I got to see Aaron Rodgers and Bart Starr together in a picture moment. I took a picture of it. It was amazing. We did a whole blog post. But like, it just felt like you feel dirty.
A Super Bowl without the Packers. What's the
point?
Yeah,
you're like, what? What
What's
is
the
why?
Point?
You just feel like you're like cheating on someone. It's not good.
Well, hey, talk about Mike Pettine being retained, and you talked about another year with the staff. LaFleur is looking for a new defensive backs coach. The former defensive backs coach went to Carolina. I know Tom Silverstein reported that he was interviewing Gray from the Zimmer staff. He's been allowed to move on from Minnesota. But I'm sure there will be other candidates. I'm not going to belabor it, but that is the one opening on his coaching staff that he is actively seeking a new body for. Speaking of Gutekunst, he's hoping, the word hope here, to have a Kenny Clark contract extension wrapped up this summer.
I watched that entire press conference.
Baby.
That was a really fast. That's always to me, I know to you it definitely is, but like I've totally gotten into that press conference
because
that's the nugget you get.
Yep.
It's like and it's nothing.
It's a nothing
like,
burger.
It's nothing out burgers the chute, laid out for you that look like
there are little gems. Little gems in the sand. You got to find them. You got to parse.
Yeah.
But yeah, so hopefully.
Yeah, they definitely.
Because I think Kenny actually kind of probably set things in motion with his end of year at his locker. Yeah, was asked about his contract. And he said, well, I hope it doesn't come to a holdout. Now, I do think that he was led with that questioning by the media, whoever the media member was, like, would you consider holding out, was kind of the lead in there. And he was well, hopefully it doesn't come to that, blah, blah, blah. But it's a possibility.
I mean, this is the
dance. You can't dismiss it.
We said it last time. This is the dance, right?
Truly, 100%. It is. It'll go back and forth. And look, deadlines spur action, as Andrew Brandt always says. The Packers haven't had a true contract holdout, I think, since Ryan Grant back in the day. So I think it'll get done. Russ Ball has always gotten these guys under when they need to get under contract. So I'm not concerned about it until I need to be, which is a long-ass time from now.
Yeah.
And then finally,
I mean, he's the number one.
He is it. He is the top.
We have a list of people we're going to talk about, and
he's not on that list because he is his own list.
Yeah, none of them matter.
The guy.
And I do want to talk about. Yes, I want to talk about the person at the top of that list.
Oh, of course. Well, we will, because that's why he's on the list. Packers players were down in Orlando this weekend.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
On Sunday,
that was great. The social
to participate
this weekend was great.
In the Pro Bowl. Obviously, the news of Kobe Bryant's death breaking yesterday morning. Our hearts go out to his family. Unbelievable tragedy. This was absolutely amazing from Z after his sack in the Pro Bowl, getting these guys together to do this Kobe fadeaway.
Yeah, it was so cool.
Just great. Z just brings it. Like, Z's always got the thing. Like, whatever the thing needs to be a statement on the field after, like, a sack or after a play, Z's your guy.
But not just to do, like, he understands the moment.
The moment, that's what I mean. Like,
he gets the
moments,
he's thinking about it. Like, when he leaves the NFL, he needs to be, like, head of content somewhere.
Right, exactly. Because
he just,
he's
like, thinks
it.
Of stuff and he makes stuff.
His
and
finger
it's like,
is
it's
on
gold.
The pulse it's in a way stuff. That is hard to quantify, but he does it perfectly. Now, let's talk about the offense, shall we?
Talk about
this Packers offense.
Oh, dear.
Matt LaFleur in his final press conference saying that more up-tempo is coming. Probably this offseason. Said they never really got around to it this year.
You saw it. And
my question is, why didn't they get to it this
year? Because you saw them finally get to it in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, when they were down 17
here's
points.
Here's my thought, and this is not going to endear me to anybody, but when have I ever cared about that? My thinking is that they just didn't get around to it until the playoffs or week 16, because you didn't see them really pull it out until the NFC Championship game.
Really, that was the mother of necessity, though, or mother of invention.
Well, clearly
necessity
they weren't ready for it if they hadn't pulled it out.
Well, it's just...
But there's
a
thing.
There two aspects
there is a thing, okay? And, right. and the two that you just said is very apropos. Mm-hmm. This is year two. One thing you heard from LaFleur and you heard from Brian is the year two mentality of like... This was always going to be...
Yeah, that's true.
That second or third year, what are you going to produce?
Right.
The expectations get lifted, right? Because
100%.
Of 14-4, like in some ways, like
there's only one way we want you to go, and there's a big long way we don't want you to go, and the odds and probabilities say you're probably going to go to the way people don't want you to go.
Exactly. There's 31 other people trying to make. That's the thing. Like their Series A funding was so high. It was like $1 billion.
You're such a nerd.
It was like $100 billion. And like to get Series B, they would have to be like, dude, they'll have to win the Super Bowl. That, like if they don't win the Super Bowl next season,
they're
it's
the funding
a
is
fail.
Pulled. Packers defunded.
My thing with the up-tempo was like, it's not like they didn't do it. Like if the whole idea was bringing stuff Rodgers was comfortable with under McCarthy, which they talked about all summer long, well, they ran no huddle all the time under McCarthy. So why didn't they just
but
do
they never
that?
Ran up-tempo until the NFC Championship game.
In this season, no.
You
I'm
literally
talking about
were complaining
years.
This entire season about, like, why are we going down to 2 seconds?
And now here's the other thing. It's not just up-tempo, like, two-minute drill stuff.
Hurry up.
Right? Not even just hurry up. I'm just talking any semblance of kind of, I don't know, reason. Push.
That's what I mean. Like,
In and out of tempo.
You're talking
tempo
about
in and out of the huddle.
Urgency to get
urgency,
in the place where you need
sense
to be.
Of urgency.
Yes, it's the urgency.
Tempo was preached all summer long. And then we got to the games and it was like, hey man, cool. What, you know, wait, are there 10 seconds left on the
play
clock?
Yeah, we want to live it like this and we're living it like,
we're like
this.
You know, we should be on like an underworld banger like track and we're listening to like, you know, Jamaican vibes. Like we got to pump up the BPMs next season, at least to my mind. And that to me is how did the quote unquote Packers offense do out of the gate? Because all summer long, obviously, Florio and his ilk made a whole thing about Rodgers and LaFleur not going to be getting along and the audible thing, etc. And in response to that, LaFleur very carefully laid out the idea that, you know, we're not doing what I've done throughout my career. We're not doing what Aaron's done throughout his career. We're building the Packers offense off of everything.
I love that.
Including what Hackett brings to the table, what Getsy brings to the table, which is, I love it.
And hopefully you also,
I love that idea. I just wish we'd seen less of the McCarthy stuff. the stuff that Aaron is comfortable with, quote unquote, and more LaFleur, Hackett, etc.
Right, but in some ways, here's my overall view of LaFleur, and some of it goes to this whole injury thing, which I think the injury thing is honestly what you need to look at in year two. If his stuff really bears out, and right. Because he's revolutionized how you basically practice and do everything in that way.
He's riding a wave of guys like McVay and Shanahan. Yep. They have kind of paved that.
Yep.
But he is drawn.
He's part of that
Quinn
revolution.
Dan Quinn too was
part of that.
Yes,
right.
A new way of thinking.
So
I remember all summer we talked about they don't they barely practice. You know, they're barely on the field. And that's kind of was continued throughout the season.
But if that plays out, it's part of that where it's you got to get buy-in. It's he knew he had to get buy-in from Aaron Rodgers. Well, how do you get buy-in from Aaron Rodgers?
Let him do a bunch of shit he likes.
Feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're what's the worst that can happen? If you're going to go down because Aaron Rodgers can't get with your program, you're screwed.
Right.
So
either way, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, you're screwed if you lose.
Because it's not like you can complain and say, "Oh, it's Aaron Rodgers' fault." Who's gonna buy that?
No one, zero.
Murphy's
people.
Not gonna buy it. Yep. The fans aren't gonna buy
it.
So it's his teammates aren't gonna buy it.
But I think hopefully what you see is, and you saw this happen at the end of the season with the quote unquote culture change,
right.
And the culture cycle,
which everyone mentions.
Aaron Rodgers is a very intelligent person, an extremely, extremely smart human being. And he was saying it later in the season, how much that culture really affected him and changed him.
Right.
And now he has buy-in.
Big time.
So you kind of buy-in for the first season to be in a place that you could even realistically, right?
Right.
Even when we're doing content here, where it's we're thinking about what we want to do, you want to tailor it to the people that you have,
right?
And try to get them the most successful that they can be doing that.
Absolutely. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. The buy-in idea is a good one. The idea that, look, I've got a ton of ideas, right? I got a ton of things I want to do. I've got a X-year contract. So I know I'm here for at least 2 years, probably, unless you went 0-16, thankfully, didn't happen. But... So get Aaron in, get him bought in, and then let's really go to town year two. I'm down with that.
I mean, also, I think that he probably wanted to go where he went. But at the same time, I think if he's looking at his deal, he's looking at if I'm going to build something in Green Bay.
Right. I'm building my
program.
If you
look at the history, I don't know that he did this, but I'm assuming everyone does this.
Right.
If you look at the history of coaches in Green Bay, it's a place that you build a legacy.
Yes.
In.
Right. It's not a one and done unless you're Ray Rhodes.
Mike McCarthy has a job with the Dallas Cowboys because of what he did in Green Bay.
100%.
He won a Super Bowl for Green Bay.
Yep.
And that's why he gets a second chance as a head coach.
Right.
I'm not saying other teams that doesn't happen if he doesn't win a Super Bowl.
But you're building a program
rather than
other jobs where it really feels like you're a rented guy.
You got to do
rented
this right now.
You're a Ronin. Exactly. Go on this mission. And if you do well, there's another mission.
Exactly.
As opposed to... You are our guy. We want you to build a program. We want you to be here for a number of years, and we want to build with you rather than, you're along for the ride.
Well, and it goes to...
And if
to,
you don't do whatever it, we want, yes. we'll get someone else who
and
will.
And it goes to, if we can build that culture, imagine you can take a quarterback now.
100%.
Because Aaron Rodgers experienced what that was like for him, and he also understands
I'm
the
fascinated.
Legacy.
I'm fascinated to see how that plays out, if and when it
but
does.
But this is my thing. If he really looks at the legacy of him and Favre and what that's turned into right now, it's a beautiful narrative.
Yep.
And whether they're friends or not, it doesn't even matter. What they do for each other, I think they understand that they're powerful together.
Oh, 100%.
And they only lift each other up. It's the water lifts all boats,
right?
If he looks at that, it kind of makes sense. It's Favre's legacy goes into Rodgers.
Yeah,
it doesn't
absolutely.
Stop with Rodgers.
Nope.
And there's something
it's a big part
to
of
that.
It.
Yeah.
It's a big part of
it's
it.
Like the, yeah. It's like, you know, it's like when you're in Inside Out and you have to have sadness. It's like that transition.
That's such a good movie.
That transition moment is part of the, it's part of the legacy.
Well, hey, okay. Talking about Rodgers, talking about legacy, talking about a poor performance yet again in an NFC Championship game. One of the pushbacks you get when you mention it, although he just played poorly, it's okay to say. But one of the pushbacks you get is he didn't have any weapons. There was no one there. Okay, fine. Gutekunst is here to tell you that, yes, Yes, more weapons.
More weapons.
More weapons is a watch point, a rallying cry,
well, apparently
whatever you want to call it.
They were
for the
closest
off-season.
To a deal. There was a little bit of
Robbie Anderson.
Robbie Anderson.
They were very close to getting Robbie
Jersey
Anderson.
Now Jersey Al really wants Robbie Anderson, right?
Well, Robbie's going to be a free agent.
He'll be a free agent.
It's a possibility.
So that was a move that they couldn't make.
They actually
they tried
is,
to make.
And this is true. They thought they had a deal. They thought the deal was done. And then something happened on the New York side, which killed the deal. And it was, I did find it very, very fascinating.
This is the time in the show where I get more beer.
Of course. My time is next. I found it fascinating when Gutekunst straight up said, when asked about, you know, the possibility of bringing someone in during the season, he mentioned, like, we explored possibilities. You know, we came close to a few things, but ultimately I decided that the value wasn't right.
And
which
that's
is the key.
This is the whole point.
It's
the whole point.
Well, and what's funny,
everyone's like,
you,
oh, yeah. We need wide receivers. Are you just throwing away draft picks?
Well, and it's not, yeah, exactly. It's not like, do you want to do what the Patriots did or do you want to do what we did? I think what we did was a much smarter play.
A billion percent
better. You placed bets on guys that I know the Peter Bukowskis and the other morons of the world are going to say, oh, well, that guy's only as good as that guy because you know nothing, by the way. And so, yeah, you're going to look in hindsight and you're going to, oh, we didn't have a number two wide receiver. We didn't have this. We place bets on a bunch of guys.
And look, and some of them paid off.
Some of them paid off, and some of them did what they needed to do for us to be where we were at the end
of the season. And I thought Gutekunst put it well. It's like a lot of guys rose to occasions periodically throughout the season. No one really grabbed the brass ring, so to speak, opposite Davante Adams. You don't want to do this. You don't want to do that. Where, you know, obviously Lazard is the real upside here, where his development was very apparent. You know, big fourth and two catch in the NFC Championship game, big third down conversions in Detroit and games before that. So he clearly was the guy who kind of rose to the top. But there were moments for the other guys. They were just few and far between, and they certainly didn't get anywhere near the potential you had hoped you would see.
Lazard
especially
got
MVS.
Close.
Yeah, Lazard, I think, is it's fair to say he probably rose above most expectations.
Yes.
For him. But MVS, clearly a disappointment. You know, Geronimo Allison, a very big disappointment. But you still won 14 games and you were on the precipice of a Super Bowl and you didn't lose that game because you didn't have a number
and
two wide receiver.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, that's it. That is just it. So I'm glad that we didn't throw draft picks away.
If you look at the four games we lost, you could make a compelling argument besides turnovers. And just like any game, I know we're in this thing right now.
Right.
But like if we just ran Aaron Jones 10 more times in all four of those games, we probably would have won the game.
Man, I don't know about that, but our chances would have been better. I will say that 100%, including the NFC Championship game, which kind of dumbfounds me that they came out trying to throw the ball. But looking at the great side of the ball, the defense. Ooh, doggy. I wanted to play this. Alex Rollins is a guy who does tape breakdowns.
Here we go.
Over at SB Nation.
This is the time in the show where Nagler's like, we gotta do our homework.
He does Niners breakdowns, but of course, because they played the Packers, he did this breakdown explaining the bare front from Mike Pettine that got completely, and this is something, this is back, this is Rex Ryan, this is Buddy Ryan, this is old school, this has been around forever. And, you know, I thought Alex did a phenomenal job of breaking down how Kyle Shanahan took advantage of it. The big concern for me is how, and he mentions it in the video, we only have a short clip here. I highly recommend going to the website, go to cheeseheadtv.com. I have a post up with the entire video. It's phenomenal. But Al, roll this clip explaining the bare front.
Their defense bases out of a 3-4 front, which has three defensive linemen and four linebackers. Though two of those linebackers, Za'Darius and Preston Smith, are bigger and play on the line of scrimmage, so it's basically a five-man front. The entire game, they would not get out of their bare front, which is a variation of their 3-4 defense. The bare front squeezes those three defensive linemen in tight and aligns them over the center and two guards. If one of those linemen moved head up over the offensive tackle, it would no longer be considered bare. They widened out the Smiths to set hard edges to force the outside zone to the inside towards their linebackers and safeties. The bare front effectively clogs up the inside running lanes and sets the edge on either side, but it leaves the C-gaps wide open, so offenses can't help but design runs to attack it.
I mean, and there you go. That is what Kyle Shanahan did all night long, is attack those gaps. And for whatever reason, and Alex mentions it in the video, Mike refused to get out of his front. Just for whatever reason, they kept running out there and doing the same thing over and over and over again. And I know Patton has repeatedly said that his whole design is to take away explosive plays, take away the big play in the passing game. But at some point, don't you have to adjust and say, oh, I think they're trying to run the ball in the C gap. I mean, it's kind of bewildering to me. I mean, at some point, don't you think that it's time to switch it up a little bit?
I mean, I don't know enough because, like, I would honestly say, like, I watch his video and I see a 4-3, you know, and it's like because like so much of the 3-4 is like it runs like a 3-4 overall, but like there's 4-3 aspects to it. Well, and we've always been like
because of the dudes on the end of the line. I mean, it's a 5-man front.
Exactly.
Them, but you see what you in your mind's eye is a 4-3. You see defensive ends.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like and Reggie I've White and Sean
that.
Jones. Back
yeah.
In the
and
day.
I've always seen that. So it's like I know Ted brought us out of the dark ages and brought us into the 3-4 defense. Right. But like, I'm also like, I feel like some of Pettine's defense can be solved by what we're going to talk about next, which
oh,
is...
Oh, yes, it can. That's a good segue, Mr.
Linebackers.
Benke. The linebacker issue is a major
and
one.
And it's an issue.
And Gutekunst pretty much admitted as much in his presser, where he kind of concedes that Blake Martinez, is gone. And look, that whole video points to the problem. When... That play in particular that he's highlighting wasn't the case because Za'Darius tries to jump inside.
Yeah.
But for much of the game, Za'Darius does hold the edge. Yeah. He does set the edge with the idea being, I'm going to funnel everything back inside, which is great if there's a linebacker there not getting blown up repeatedly by centers,
well,
guards,
that's first level.
Even wide receivers.
And also something I said during the game that I don't know if you saw more on tape was they were going after Savage on the second level.
Savage had an
they were
abysmal
definitely
game.
Going after Savage
abysmal
on the second level.
Abysmal game.
Second and third level, like, dude, if you can't hold the third level, like, we got...
That's why you get explosive runs.
We got problems. Yeah.
So, to me... Clearly, Martinez is going to walk. Thank him for his service. He vastly outplayed his draft position. But he got taken advantage of repeatedly, not only on Sunday night, but throughout the year in the run game. I still maintain he's better than a lot of people give him credit for, but it's clear that it's time to move on. And I do not doubt that there, much like last offseason, there was an overhaul at edge. There will be certainly an overhaul at inside linebacker in 2020. Heading into next season, because they cannot sit there with Oren Burks and think that they're going to do anything they want to do against the run or the pass.
Well, he talked about Oren Burks being good in special teams.
I did love. There were two moments that I loved out of Goody's presser.
I remember that distinctly.
Because it was in response to a Bill Huber question, which is where you always get your best responses.
I don't know.
You do, because guys, that is 100% true. You know why? Because Bill bugs the hell out of everybody at the podium. And so at some point, they just go, Bill, and then they just answer. And that's why you get like unvarnished
hilarious.
Stuff. And that's why I love Bill, because he gets answers. He asks stuff that he knows other people find annoying, including the people he's asking the question of, and they have to give him an answer. And Gutekunst did in the sense when he talked about, well, there was two things. There were two moments like this kind of I thought were revealing when Bill asked about is speed necessary at backer, and Brian literally just goes, yeah, yes. Like, and then doesn't expound on it, doesn't keep going with anything. He's just like, yes. That was it. And then the other time that I thought it was kind of hilarious was when Pete asked him about Rashawn Gary. He said, Gary, Gary had a disappointing season. Considering the disappointing season Gary had, or something along those lines, and Gutekunst, I think that's the fastest I've ever seen him jump on someone. And he was like, I disagree with your characterization. I was like, Brian.
I saw that too.
Brian, you're showing, buddy.
We know you're defensive
about it because he's the 12th overall pick. He barely played.
Yep.
See, and I wish someone would have, because no one asked this question or framed it like this even. Like, how does it feel to have the 12th overall pick, your first pick in this draft, play three snaps in the NFC Championship game? I mean, that's yikes.
Well, but look
that
at
that is yikes.
Where do you think? Okay,
in a game where you're
okay,
getting run over.
Okay, let's sidestep the
that is yikes.
Let's sidestep the script. Where do you think Gary ranks in the first round? In the 20s?
I mean, who? Yeah, probably.
For like, this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also with the caveat that it's dumb. The idea, they say you, it's a 3-year thing.
It's ridiculous.
Come on.
I mean, like he's not a bus.
You're trying to get
he's not a bus?
No, he's
we'll
not
see.
A bus.
He has
but
to.
But where
take,
would you put him in the
he
teens?
He has to make
that.
Yeah, no. And that's like, I'd probably put him at Dayton Jones level right now. You know what I mean? And what was that? Like 24th pick, I think, was Jones went.
Got it.
He's around there. He just barely played. He's got to get on the field. How is he going to get better if he doesn't get on the field? And I understand the issue is that
well,
they have
Tony
two...
says the reason Gary didn't play much is because of Preston and Zadarius.
Well, as I was just about to say. But guess what? Those guys were members of the team when he was drafted. And I understand.
They didn't know what they had.
I understand the A, they don't know
well,
what they
and
have.
Also,
but B,
you want to have those free agents
you
that
wanna,
are like.
You want to build your defense. But at some point, don't you have to say, okay, we got to get this kid on the field? Like, and I know the plan is a sound one.
Yeah.
Have him learn for a year.
Yeah.
Because
I mean,
he's switching
learn.
Positions. But I tell you what, this kid has got to blow the fuck up.
I'm excited
in
for,
year
I'm
two.
I'm excited for pre-camp for
oh,
Rashawn
I'm sure
Gary.
You are. You're always excited for pre-camp.
Pre-camp, Rashawn
that's
Gary.
That's what you live
that's
for.
Gonna be, that's going to be one of the themes. That's going to be one of the themes, Nate.
He's gotta blow
got
to blow up.
Got those themes going for pre-camp 2021.
Wait, you have preconceived notions of narratives that you're going to pull out during pre-camp?
I've learned this from the media, Nagler.
Yeah, of course, exactly.
I've learned from them.
I was going to say, that's amazing.
I've only been around here for 12 years. I learned
Gary
some things.
Gary needs to make the jump. No doubt about it. Let's talk about some off-season decisions that the Packers have to make. Facing said Brian Gutekunst in the face as he sits down at his desk, ready to face the offseason. You ready, Banky?
Yes.
You're Brian Gutekunst. What do you do with the following players? Brian Bulaga. Brian Bulaga, Iowa.
I feel like it depends on what his salary is. And
way to crack it open there. Well done.
No.
You want a junior G-man
everyone,
badge for that one?
Here, okay, let me rephrase this. Rephrase on redirect?
Yeah, go right ahead.
All right, everyone in the blogosphere is saying that if Bulaga doesn't get signed, like it's this big like catastrophe
it's
of
not.
Life. And I feel
it's
the opposite.
Not. I totally agree.
I'm not hating on Bulaga
at all.
Love
at
him.
All.
If we can get Bulaga, that's great. But like we got to get Bulaga for the right value. I know I made
thank you
cough.
For thank you for your service. Fantastic, brilliant final year in the green and gold. But I'm here to tell you, I think he's gone.
I mean, I just feel like people are going to give him more money than we're going to give him.
Yes, of course.
That's kind of where
thing.
I'm at.
When you talk
and it's
about
not the end of the world.
No, and as you said, it does come down essentially to what they're going to pay him. Because if he wants to take a hometown discount, please, thank you, welcome back.
I want Bulaga back.
Of course you
just
do,
saying.
Because he's a really good player. But more often than not, and we've seen it time and time again, the best deals you make are the deals you don't make, and you it's so much better to let a guy go a year early than a year too late.
The Packer Bulagosphere.
I like it. All right, what about Mason Crosby?
Meh.
Oh my God, you did not just meh.
Don't
Mason
we have
Crosby.
To have
he just had a phenomenal year, probably
yeah,
one of his
did.
Best ever.
He had
as
a phenomenal year for his age.
A phenomenal year, period. Did you watch the NFL this season? Of course you didn't. Dude, people can't hit a field goal these days.
I think,
there's terrible kickers
I think
everywhere.
We need to be thinking about the heir apparent.
They got
to
bring him back. Maybe, sure, fine. Oh, wait. What's going to happen when Gutekunst drafts a kicker and you lose your fucking mind?
No.
I'm going to replay that clip.
Let's just steal.
We need to be thinking of his heir apparent.
We just need to steal someone else's like
some
prodigy.
Off a practice squad or something.
No, steal somebody else's prodigy.
Okay, they're just lying
it's a
about
much better play.
Lying about the place. That's your strategy. Find a prodigy.
Steal a prodigy.
On someone else's 90-man roster this summer. Corey Banky, GM.
This is
sign
why
up for your Corey Banky GM lessons here at cheeseheadtv.com.
Pre-draft. You got me in pre-draft.
I know.
Man.
Okay. Hey, okay, wait.
No, I'll bring back Mason Crosby. I'm just
of
playing.
Course.
Just
of
playing
course
guys.
You are.
Come on.
Jimmy Graham posted this tweet, this cryptic tweet. Some might say that he's intimating here that he is possibly retiring with, this becomes harder every time you see others raise that trophy. I'm blessed and proud. Love these guys for battling to prove a lot of people wrong. Thank you for sticking by me for 10 years. See, that takes a weird turn.
I have given everything I have.
I've given everything I have in pursuit of a ring.
I am in your debt for believing in me. So the first half is all about no one believed in us, but we got to the NFC Championship game. And then it takes a hard right turn into 10 years worth of fans talking about him, blah, blah, blah. And I've given everything. I'm in your debt for believing in me. Wait, what? No one believed in him this year other than Matt LaFleur. So maybe the tweet's for Matt LaFleur. I don't know. But anyway, to me, that tweet suggests that he's hanging him up. But Brian Gutekunst was asked about it and said, no, I believe his intention is to play. So you're Brian Gutekunst. We're back to the Corey Banky GM school here. Do you stick with Bulaga for his final year of his contract?
You mean
I'm sorry,
Graham?
Jimmy Graham. Do you stick with him for the final year of his contract, or do you let him go?
Well, how much is his contract?
It's like nine. I can save like $9 million by cutting him.
I'd cut him.
Corey's like, I cut him yesterday.
I mean, how do you know what you got with Jace frickin' Sternberger if you don't get Graham out of there? What about Bob Tonyan?
I know. Let the kids play.
Vitale, Kumaro. Like, come on.
Kumaro's probably gone. But, okay. Tremont. What do you do with Tremont?
Yes.
He's a free agent.
I keep Tremont.
Of course you do. What's your reasoning?
Huh?
What's your reasoning?
Culture.
That's it.
Because I'm
just
gonna
culture.
What I think you should do is you should basically do the Edgar Bennett with Tremont and turn him into a D-backs coach.
A coach down the road there.
Do
I like
that 1 year deal and basically offer him a longer term thing where it's like, hey, I want you as part of because we need help maintaining the secondary culture here at Green Bay, and it's cool. A really important
piece.
He's
practically a coach now. What about Irvin?
Yeah.
Bring him back.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to think he's cheap. He's probably more valuable to
and
the Packers than anyone else.
He was on the up.
Yeah, very
near
much
the
so.
End of the season.
Very much agreed.
Everybody else, yes, I'm going to say.
Geronimo? All,
yeah. Why not?
Really?
What does it cost you?
Well, who cares? Let's let him go, man. You need people to come in and get better. You want to get better at the position. You're going to draft some kids.
This would have been this is his third year out of the draft, fourth year out of the draft.
Fourth year. And, like, this is it. He's going to be an unrestricted
free
agent.
Right, he's unrestricted.
Just let him go. And, look, I tell him...
But wouldn't you get a practice squad or something for him?
No. I would just tell him, look, go hit the market.
No, I mean, he could be on it. Yeah, go hit the market.
No, he can't. He's played too much now to be on practice squad. But I would say, go hit the market. If you don't find a deal that you like, you're more than welcome to come back here and compete for a job. But I'm also going to draft some studs, and good luck. You know what I mean? Like, they got to get better at wide receiver. Don't get it twisted. And Geronimo is not part of that plan. He had his chance.
I didn't realize. I thought in my head right now, I thought he was on his, like, he was,
oh, no,
that
he's
was
unrestricted.
His third.
Unrestricted. What about Big Dog?
Yeah.
Right? I think another 1 year deal, probably.
But that's the thing. Like, to me, it's like you can afford to let Graham go because you have Mercedes Lewis and you've got these younger guys.
Agree.
And Mercedes Lewis.
Should have done that last year.
Mercedes Lewis near
Mercedes
the end of his
does different stuff than Jimmy. I mean, that's obvious, right?
Oh, 100%, 100%.
And he gives you what you're talking about, culture, the locker room. 12 clearly loves the guy. I mean, I absolutely bring Big Dog back and let Graham walk. That's just me. We'll see what Brian does. What about Ibrahim Campbell?
Why not?
This has been the Corey Banky School of GMing. Why not?
You made the list, Nagler.
Okay, and the final one. What about Jared Veldheer?
Yes, he was like really good.
Now,
he was really good. He stepping in.
He stepped in.
Brian talked about him in his press conference.
He did.
I know more than I let on. He talked about him,
he
brought enormous value for what they thought
what
they were going to get.
I mean, a guy
that's
who was literally on his couch for the first part of the year, for much of the year, comes in and
EQ.
Plays.
EQ, they're bringing up, we got EQ, don't forget.
I know we got EQ. But, okay, look, EQ is talented, and I love the potential there, but I'm not counting on EQ. Did anyone remember how well Geronimo Allison played last year, those first 3 weeks? He balled out. Remember the touchdown against the Bears? He caught a ton of passes,
barely.
Looked great, then got hurt, and then he came back, and everyone was like, okay, he's going to pick up where he left off, and he never, ever even approached where he left off. Geronimo, but we all know Geronimo, but you look at EQ, he showed flashes, no doubt about it, but he suffered a pretty significant high ankle sprain / ankle injury. I'm not counting on him for anything heading into 2020. Anything he gives you is a bonus. Like, he could surprise, and he could come to camp and, like, turn it on, and we're, oh, wow, oh, my gosh, EQ is back. And that would be great. I'm praying for it. I love it. But I'm not counting on it.
No.
In any way, shape, or form. That's just me. All right, Al, let's hit it, buddy.
This week in the
That's right. It's This Week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. And Corey, I want to talk to you about something very serious today. Wrap up the season of This Week in the Packer Blogosphere. Something very serious. I want to talk to you about security. Talk to you about keeping your stuff safe on the internet. Clearly a lesson that the Packers
NFL
and
that.
Another number of member teams of the National Football League seem to have thrown caution to the wayside.
I don't even want to talk about this because we can easily be hacked.
I don't know what you're talking about. We are locked up tight here at Cheesehead TV. Unlike the Green Bay Packers, who today, along with like 13 other teams, found themselves the victims of hackers. That's right. Hi, we're back. We are here to show people that everything is hackable. To improve your account's security, contact us. And they give an email address. Follow us. Let's get their hashtag trending. This on the Packers official account with the avatar taken away. But it's still the blue check mark still there, so you know it's the Green Bay Packers. I love it. God bless these people. That's all I have to say. Is like, I thought it was hilarious. I mean, because in the grand scheme of things, you know what? We've got impeachment going on. Kobe Bryant is dead, and NFL Twitter accounts are hacked. Like, who cares? Like, ultimately,
it's pretty crazy.
Who cares? It's crazy, fine, but it's totally innocuous.
I mean, eventually, you're basically going to have sex with the machine before the machine will let you access the machine.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
You're going to have to give DNA.
This is an addendum
orbital.
This is an add-on to the Corey Behnke GM school. This is Corey Behnke.
No, you cannot access this machine.
Computer security 101.
Yeah, it's going to happen. That's the world that we're marching toward. This world. You've heard it here first.
Word. Speaking of Packer Blogosphere, if you haven't yet, and I can't imagine that if you're listening to this or watching this anywhere in the world, you haven't already. But if you have not, be sure you check out today's Pack-A-Day podcast.
Pack-A-Day.
Available at Cheesehead TV.
Who's on that?
On iTunes. I joined Mr. Andy Herman for a lovely chat about the season, about the way forward, etc. And it was fun.
Did you guys talk about his first season covering, like, being on the beat and everything?
We did not. We just talked about the Packers.
Oh.
We just kept it Packer-centric. No one cares about how the sausage is made.
I just think that's cool.
It is cool.
I just think it's cool, that whole journey.
Since we're talking about it, since you brought it up, did you notice that Andy tweeted, thanks to everyone for making me feel so, like, welcomed on the Packers beat this year, blah, blah, blah. And he tweeted and he added myself, you, blah, blah, blah. Like, lots of very specific. Olivia got a shout out.
Who didn't get a shout out?
Some very interesting people didn't get a shout out in that. Like, I will say, I know it because Andy reached out to me at the beginning of the year and was like, man, like, it's cold around here at some points. And I was like, look, man, I felt it. We all know. It's well documented how I felt it.
You never felt that before?
And I told him, your work got you where you are.
Yeah.
Your work got you in that door. You have an audience. You have a platform that you've built. Pack-A-Day is amazing. And I told him this on the show. Like, Pack-A-Day is incredible.
It is.
He's a force of nature. And I understand he doesn't do every show, but he's in charge of and responsible for every show happening.
I can barely do one show a week.
During the football season.
And I have help.
He does a show every fucking day.
Yeah, it's
He's
crazy.
In charge of making sure it happens every day. And so I told him, what I told him was, you have built this. You did that. And no matter what reception you get in the press box, which, by the way, is such nonsense. Like, and I know the parties involved are talking about, etc. Some of them are friends of ours, some are whatever. But it's like, that is such high school cafeteria bullshit. Like, just keep doing what you do, Andy, because you're kicking ass. You're taking names. Keep it up, buddy.
Word.
That's what I have to say about that.
That's all you have to say about that?
That's all I got to say about that.
We're going to take some chat questions now.
Are we sure that's the best idea?
Are you ready?
I am ready, Corey. Hit me.
Okay, wait. I'm on the right. Okay, here we go. Southwestern Florida.
Woo!
Packers fan club on Facebook. Okay, you guys ready for this graphics? Health was the key to 14 wins.
A big key, yes.
Huge key.
Big key. Huge I won't key. Say it's the key, but it's a big key.
It was a big one. Joseph M., thanks for the super chat. RIP the Black Mamba, go Packers.
agree with both of those sentiments.
Agreed, 100%. Amazing, amazing, amazing. One of the most amazing U.S. citizens on the planet this decade.
Word.
Easily.
Word.
R.A.P. Kobe Bryant. Uncultured Barbarian, thanks for the super chat. Hated the last game, but I can't wait to see how Goot builds this roster going forward and seeing if LaFleur can fix QB1. Also, draft in Vegas. Go. All right. So we're supposed to go.
Cool. We'll be there. Thank you. That just decided it. That decided it.
Nagler.
Was it a super chat?
Nagler.
The super chat has spoken.
Nagler, I haven't decided yet.
No. The super chat decided.
Slow down. Overshadow Sean, thanks for the super chat. If they would have moved on from Mike, it would have been three consecutive years with huge coaching changes. That is hard on any team. 14-3 earned one.
Yeah, but after the last huge coaching change, they went 14-4. Who knows? One more big coaching change, maybe Super Bowl for like 10 years in a row. Grab it, baby. I'm just saying.
Okay. Where was I? Saul, Chris Richard for defensive backs coach would be a good hire. Thanks for the super chat.
Cool. I agree.
Atheist for the cause. Did Murphy or Goot force LaFleur to keep Pettine?
Ooh. I know that's the prevailing
tinfoil hat. That's the new narrative. That's the narrative.
But I don't believe so, no.
Some of these chats are hilarious. Dustin, thanks for a great year, guys. Can't believe BJ Raji is a Patreon. Got to get back to work. Go, Pet, go.
He is indeed. Has been since the inception of our Patreon page.
Kinglin, what are your thoughts about Kingsley Kiki's season? There was excitement about him at the start, but it's mostly been silent since. I love his potential.
He finally got on the field like halfway through the year and didn't fare well against the run, and that's when he kind of got relegated to the bench. I will say, I think the San Francisco game allayed all those fears that the guys in front of him are doing a better job. And I will also say, go back and watch him in that game on Sunday night, last Sunday night. He actually plays pretty darn well. He plays a limited amount of snaps, but he plays pretty well. Better than Lancaster and Lowry and all the guys in front of him. So I think the future is very bright for Kingsley. He just has to get on the field. And that's down to the coaching staff.
Okay.
okay, whatever the fuck you're talking about.
Kevin Hyland, Corey and Aaron, would you rather never be able to watch another Packers game for the rest of your life, but you're healthy, or have two prosthetic arms but you can watch every Packers game? I'm gonna pick two, bro.
That's
I don't need not my even arms a, to watch fucking, Packers games.
Do we carry the fucking G around here? What do we do?
Well, you don't like, need yes.
you don't need arms to watch a game,
need,
dude.
You don't even need arms to carry the G, bro.
I don't need legs. Just put me in position and make sure the beer has a straw and I'm ready to go.
There you go. Joshua Early on Facebook. Go Pack Go. Couldn't agree more, buddy. Overshadow Sean, if you're going to run a 46, get a damn Singletary. There you go.
I'm down with that.
Guy Trier, they were never holding the edge. I put this in because I was watching this while you were talking about it. That is a misstatement, Nagler. They had just as many runs outside the edge as the C-gap.
I disagree with that statement. And I know plenty of people who agree with me, who I trust, so it's cool. But I will say, when they did get around the edge, a lot of the time they were using closed formations, so maybe that's what you were looking at. But Zadarius and Preston did a fantastic job for the most part, not always, not on every down, but for the most part, they did their jobs as far as setting an edge, funneling the run back inside of them to where there was no help.
Okay. I was trying to pick other ones. I thought you would want to rebut that.
Yeah,
so I held that for
it's
you.
All good.
DeMartell Gilbert, plays where DA throw the ball like he did in Pro Bowl. Devontae Adams.
Devontae Adams, throw the ball.
Yeah, well, we need more plays like that. Maybe.
I would love it. Let's put DA as a... Devontae Adams as a Taysom Hill?
What? I mean, he really did look pretty good as a quarterback.
He looked better than Lamar Jackson.
He looked better than a lot of guys. He looked better than Mitch Trubisky.
Well, that's not hard. You look better than Mitch Trubisky.
Nah,
come on
now.
Come
Uncultured. On. Thank you, Negs. You're right on drafting a kicker and Banky.
Okay? Yeah, exactly.
Moss Tequila. I was betrayed by Aaron. No toughness or zeal.
Word.
By Humberto. Peter B is top 10 worst tweeters. I would say top 5, bro. Top 5. Peter
Bukowski.
Wait,
was that a super chat?
No.
Okay.
I just picked
you
that
just
one.
Picked it.
He knew I would pick it.
I was like, someone paid money to have that read?
Does someone need to pay money?
Nope, apparently not. Not for Peter B. slander.
Oh, wait, wait. Here's one. That's good. Oh, that's weird.
Wait, I love this. Jesus of the Ape says, I quit listening to Peter B. when he tried to trash Aaron Rodgers last offseason. I'll never tune in again. Pete, like, carries the water for Rodgers more than anyone on this planet other than Jason Wilde. So I have no idea what you're talking about right now.
Brian Purdy on Facebook, is Jordan Love a quality starting QB in NFL?
I don't think so. But we'll see.
Aaron Charles Rodgers, what about TBLS?
TBLS.
You can blame it all on me.
Is not a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Fernando Medeiros, when will we have transplants overseas? Here in Uruguay, we support you guys.
Hey, Uruguay. So forget Vegas. Let's do the draft in Uruguay.
There you go.
There you go. Done.
Tyler Darling, guys, what a year. This was my year two after discovering Cheesehead TV. Had great times with you guys. Corey, please reply to my Insta DM and Aaron, unblock me on Twitter if I'm indeed blocked. Love y'all.
Well, do you know if you're blocked or not? I mean,
he doesn't know.
Come on.
Overshadow buddy. Sean with the last chat. Corey, the mullet is growing back nicely. Yeah, baby. Just for you guys.
Love it. I was going to say today, your beard's coming in nice, too. You're like back to full Cro-Magnon man.
Going into Santa mode.
Santa mode. Well, it is the long haul of the off-season.
It's a long off-season, you guys.
Okay. Folks, very, very sincerely, thank you so much for following along this year. We get a lot of people saying things like we just heard. It's my first season, my second season finding you guys. We had someone last week who said, or 2 weeks ago, said, this is the first time I've ever watched Transplants and I've been following you both for years. So I understand that, like, not everybody comes to the show religiously. They don't come here every week. But when they do discover it, they always go out of their way to tell us how much they enjoy it. And that means a whole hell of a lot to us. That's why we do this. Please hit subscribe. Hit like on the video. Tell your friends. Tell your family. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide because it's what we do. And if you want to support what we do, please consider giving us $5 a month on our Patreon, patreon.com/cheeseheadTV. A number of you have already done so, and I can't thank you enough. I will tell you guys right now, I'm going to do a weekly thing every week this offseason. This is my goal. If Andy Herman can put together a fucking podcast every day of his life, I can do a Madden challenge with a Patreon member every week this offseason.
All right.
Starting next week through training camp. I'm going to, every week, if you are a member of the Cheesehead TV Patreon, and you can confirm that, and I can confirm that, I will play you online in Madden.
Nice.
That's it. That's all I ask is you're a Patreon.
Maybe we'll have a tournament later. Maybe we'll get a Madden tournament.
We'll see who's good. We'll see who sucks. Clearly, we'll put Grassi in the sucks category.
Yeah, he sucks. Yeah,
he can try and win the sucks side of the tournament to try and play me, but
other thing though that we want to say is, yes, like, we have already had what, two strategy meetings? I think
more strategy meetings in the last month than I think we've had in 10 years
ever.
Oh, 100%.
We're ready. We've got some really
cool lots
ideas
of fun
game
stuff
day
coming
live this season.
Game
we're
days
not going anywhere.
I'm telling you, people, game days next year, there's something brewing. There is something brewing. It's gonna be a lot of fun. You guys are gonna want to be part of it, and like I said, if you're a Patreon, you're really going to support, not only support it, but probably be part of it. And finally, speaking of game days, make sure you download the Cheesehead TV app. It's going to be evolving throughout the offseason, evolving throughout the year.
It's going to get an update.
It's going to be coming much more centralized to the Cheesehead TV experience, both in the offseason, but especially during the season and on game day. You're going to want to have it on your phone, on your tablet, on your smart TV. Download it. Cheesehead TV, the app. Anything else to add there, Corey?
You did it.
That'll do it for this season of Packer Transplants Live.
I don't like it, Nagler.
We'd like to thank everyone who stopped by throughout the year to chat some Packers with us. That's why Corey and I are here. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
Hey, Winston, I'm sorry. Where is the Winston that has given us illumination and information at past press conferences? Do we do something that you're down on us again? But this was what, last week it didn't go very well, and we want to talk about your guys, and I'm not quite sure what you want from us to make that happen.
I can't help you.